T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
There's not 32 guys better than me.
I'm not sure.
I'm not 32.
Bring Cam Newton back. Bring Cam Newton back.
Dale Arnold.
1 year deal. Would you go back?
Yes. Hell yes.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
Rich Keefe.
This whole narrative of, you know, LeBron needs more rest, or I should take more rest, or I should take time here, has become a lot bigger than what it actually really is.
If LeBron James tells us a duck could pull a truck, guess what we better do? We better hook the son of a gun up.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
It's hard to envision, but a lot of stuff has been hard to envision.
He's a fourth-round draft pick. What does that tell you? It tells you that he's a fourth-round draft pick.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know, as we kick off this four-hour cruise, we should at least begin the proceedings by finding out if Rich Keefe has returned from his self-imposed suspension from yesterday.
Please don't jinx anything, Dale. The hamster is going full speed right now in my house, keeping the internet afloat. So don't look at him, don't mention him, and let's just hope we stay connected.
We envisioned you chasing the internet guy down the street.
Oh, my God.
Again.
Well, that's the first thing I did, was I ran down the – I looked outside, because that was the other time I got knocked off the air, was the guy just randomly, like, resetting everybody's internet at, like, noon on, like, a Tuesday. I'm like, what's happening?
I go, he thought, nobody needs off? Your internet at noon on Tuesday, right?
I go, did you just shut the internet off? He's like, yeah. I was like, all right, you going to turn it back on? He's like, yeah, a few minutes. I'm like, I don't even know what to say to that.
But I'm
that
working was the, here.
I don't know what happened. And then I was so mad, and then I had, like, half the internet, and then I'm talking to John back at the station, and he's like, you sound horrible. He's like, you sound like you're underwater. And I'm like, well, I can hear you. And so anyway,
Tesla, you got to be more times. What's really ironic is we could see Rich on our screen.
Yeah, like, I had the Zoom
there.
Going.
He's just sitting there. Like, from 1 to 2, he's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And like, staring at us, but he couldn't
talk. Sounds
to
good,
us.
Guys.
Love. Did you crack a beer? Did you get a beer?
Yeah, of course, but I was still.
Okay, I figured.
I don't know why you even sat there. Yeah, like, I would have shut down and gone upstairs.
I was just
like an hour.
So
I mean, commit to the show. I'll give you that. But
just good employee, yeah.
Right?
I can tell management. I watched him the whole hour sitting right there.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a. I got to leave. Nope. I was.
Radio's
I
more was of an audible medium, though.
I
so
know.
I'm
it is.
Sure.
Well,
it is. I was screaming at the computer, but nobody could hear me.
It was a weird sort of technical
obnoxious
snafu that happened. Yet. But you sound good, Rich.
Well,
sound very good now.
I also was thinking, like, I'm surprised that hasn't happened more often.
Yeah.
Like, we've all been doing this off and on for a solid year, and for the, 98% of the time, I would say, it's smooth sailing.
I think I had it happen once where the internet went out one day.
I remember this specifically. It went out at the beginning of a break, and we were ready to come back and do the Keefe and Chime show, and these two were all psyched, and then Dale reconnected, and we were like, oh.
Damn it, they went.
Dale's back.
John's Dale's man. Out there. Dale's back. Like, as, like, the rejoin music is playing.
One day the entire studio here broke. Had nothing to do
right.
with Dale. And
yeah.
Keefe and Wiggy had to come into the producer studio and sit at Chime and I's mics as our arms are, like, around them trying to hit buttons and everything.
Oh, that, I remember that. Yeah.
Okay. Of course, there was that time. Other time when John spilled an entire iced coffee over.
Correct. I don't drink iced coffee,
machinery
Dale. It was a hot coffee.
And
yes,
whatever
coffee.
It was.
Thousands of dollars worth of damage in this room.
Scorching all the wires that were.
I had
way.
To host Mutt at Night one night when he lost his. It was awful. And then he tried to do it on the phone or something, and it was even worse. It was it was a poop
the,
show.
The unprepared solo experience
yes.
is
and I'm
not
the worst
ideal.
At that. Like, when I go into here's a little behind the scenes with Andy. Yeah. For your show, 4 hours, I prepare. I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
You know, I've
Good
read a lot. I'm ready to go. I'll be honest, I just show up and shoot the poo with Mutt for 2 hours on Monday and Wednesdays because I like it better that way. I, we have like a sort of a natural make fun of each other rapport, and it goes where it goes. So, yes, when he went down, I was like,
I'm sorry,
as you would say, Rich, line. Anybody get, I don't know the phone number. I don't know the text number. I know nothing. Just go to a long break. Keep them going. Keep rolling the commercials.
Back in the day, you'd play a long record, but you know that.
Yeah, that's what I needed. Yeah, like that Peter Frampton thing that goes on.
MacArthur Park or Inagata De Vita or something that would just go on and on forever.
Mona Lisa Vita.
That too. Correct. Hey, a quick question for Andy before we dive into the Cam Newton stuff here. No, because you're much more closely related to this than I am, and I missed it yesterday. The Cam stuff was dropping. Rich was ignoring us for an hour on the radio. We had stuff going on. High school football started yesterday, right?
Yes, for lots, most, some. I don't know the exact breakdown. Some have already had to push things back a couple weeks. There was one place I know a buddy of mine told me they were pushed back a week. But yes, for the large sum, some portion of high school football started yesterday with coaches scrambling to find.
I saw a picture online this morning of a team practicing, and I don't remember which high school it was. But they were standing, like my backyard's got, you know, 8-10 inches of snow on it. They were standing on a snow-covered high school football field.
Yes.
Practicing.
Yeah, that's the challenge. I know a lot of, like, DPW workers have gotten shout-outs from kids because, you know, they came and they somehow plowed a field or got some sort of a surface ready. But, yeah, parking lots, because there's also rules against indoor practicing. I think you can only have 20 kids from the football team in the gymnasium at one time, so they're even doing, like, cohorts. Cohort A practices for an hour, and then cohort B comes in, which... That's difficult. I don't know how you break that down, offense, defense, especially in high school where kids play both ways. And, you know, do you have ones versus ones and then the backups practice? I don't even know. But, yes, they have started. I think it's great. I don't know what it's going to be. Just the fact that they
I'm
are at least
for the
attempting.
Kids.
Yes. Because I think most kids
– do they have to choose between baseball and football or lacrosse?
No. This is a tweener season. This is a sandwich season.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. February 20-whatever through April 20-whatever.
Okay, cool.
They're squeezing in. I think it's probably going to be somewhere in the range of like a five or six game season, conference, local games, no Super Bowls or playoffs, but, you know, get some. Well, that's actually one of the unique challenges. I was reading a story in the Globe some of the coaches are dealing with, and it's a good problem to have, but because this is the fourth season of this athletic calendar year, you're getting some kids who played soccer in the fall or golf in the fall or some other sport, and coaches are like, well, if this kid's better, do I play him over maybe the kid that's been more committed? Even though I'm going to lose him maybe next fall, he'll go back to the normal sport that he plays. But do you just go all in and play him this year? So there's sort of some weird things. But, yeah, practices are happening on parking lots, basketball floors, snow-covered, whatever they can get. And they got to get going because I think March 10th or 12th are the first games for some of these teams. So it's like – because in the summer you're coming off – you know, sometimes captains practices, and then you have the ramp up in August, and then maybe a scrim. Like, this is going to be boom, boom, boom. Okay, you got a game. Good luck. Hmm.
My daughter's a high school hockey coach, and it has been a nightmare. You know, the program has been shut down on a number of occasions because you got this many kids who have had close contact. Okay, we got to shut everybody down. They did ultimately finish the season, and I give them credit for the perseverance in doing that. And I give these kids credit, especially the seniors, you know, who are never going to probably ever, most of them never going to play football again.
Right.
This is it. And good for them. I grew up in Maine, and, you know, baseball season was a little short up in Maine. And I remember the first month of baseball, we were in the gym.
Yep.
You had no choice. You couldn't get in the fields. I mean, they were
snow covered. Did you use the BP, the machine balls with the little dots? And the if you didn't get it on the first hop, the second hop, it
was
took off
kill
and
you.
Almost took your head off.
Yeah. Awful.
I remember those. It was like, get the first hop, charge it, get the first hop, or just duck, dive to the floor, because you're going to die.
Well, that
was probably the scariest sporting moment, or not just moment, but experience. My whole life was probably practicing baseball inside.
Awful.
Because it was so not the sport, and it was chaotic, and there was too many people, and I was just like, you're looking around, you're waiting to like get a baseball to the face. You're just like staring around. And they're like, hey, let's try grounders. I'm like, grounders? We're not doing grounders. And like, and then you got guys taking BP like in a net. I'm like, I don't trust that net. That's like a makeshift net. Like, this thing
balls
is
are going through nets, under nets.
We didn't even
no
have
question.
A net. We were taking PP in the gym, and there was no net.
No, awful. Any kind of football practice was way safer than baseball indoors. Like, good Lord.
And I was an outfielder, so good luck shagging fly balls in the gym here. Sorry.
It's like playing at the Trop.
Yeah, you can't do any of that. Well, I just saw the picture this morning of these kids out on this snow-covered field in football practice, and I thought, good for you guys for persevering and trying to get this thing in. I'm happy for them. I hope they get to play their games and whatever semblance of a season they've got.
Whatever it is. I mean, if I were a kid, I mean, I would think you just take whatever you can get. You probably had almost resigned yourself to, I'm not going to play because it's, you know, now February and this football's over. And so if you get two, you get four, you get six, you know, whatever it may be, it's more than you expected. But I know in terms of the athletic directors and the coaching, you get, a lot of these coaches coach multiple sports. So it's like you just finished basketball season, which was trying and delays, and there were issues there. Boom, you're right into football. Your mind is probably starting to think about lacrosse or baseball, something you also coach a month down the road. And numbers are issues for all sports. Kids either not playing or, you know, now you got football, you're figuring out, well, I got actually got extra kids, but, you know, will they last? Or they? There's a lot. So they the coaches and athletic administrators with everything that's going on are certainly certainly earning their keep right now.
Good for them. Yeah. Yesterday we got a chance to listen to – well, it was dropping in the middle of our show. I think that's why Rich left at 1. He wanted to go listen to the
I
Am Athlete.
I got to listen to this uninterrupted.
He was
see you guys later.
He's not going to hang around with us.
And it was awesome, right? Can we start there? It was awesome.
It was
like,
great.
Because Mutt didn't like it. Mutt was
why?
Like,
oh, it's like propaganda. It's this. No one asked him about his inability to throw the – and I was like – isn't there a part of you that still just loves sports and athletes, and it's four NFL players who were stars just sitting around shooting the poo, like telling stories? I thought it was awesome.
Maybe I'm a jock sniffer or something, but
I thought it was awesome.
No, I thought it was good, and like that's the whole idea of like podcasts is to sort of like have that kind of forum. These guys can have their cigars or their wine or whatever and relax. And Cam's actually, as we know, really good even in a traditional setting. Like, his radio interviews doesn't come across as stuffy and nervous. But then in this, it's like even better. He's even more laid back. He's even more open. And he knows he's talking to guys that have had similar experiences. There's a guy in there that's played for Josh McDaniels. There's a guy in there that's played for Belichick. There's a guy in there that, you know, just playing in the NFL in general, I think, is a comforting thing for him. So, no, I liked it.
And I thought Brandon Marshall does a pretty damn good job of sometimes these guys get so comfortable, they start talking in sort of locker room lingo and just throwing stuff out there. And I think Brandon Marshall understands, whoa, what'd you mean by that? Like,
yeah,
I know my listener may not know.
Like people. Yeah.
And it's funny to look at him because the life he led to get to where he is now in terms of, you mentioned Josh McDaniels. Remember when he was punting footballs because he wanted out of Denver in practice and he was all angry? Now we find out why, because they were rotating him and all these things. But then he had domestic issues, mental health issues.
Bipolar issues.
Yeah. And to see where he is now, you know, I think he said, yeah, I'm going to let my inner Greg Gumbel come out or whatever. Like, he's the media guy in the room. It's pretty cool. I enjoyed every minute of it. Fred Taylor was a little... He might have been high or something. I'm not sure what he brought to the table.
The one thing I noticed about Cam is, you know, I could compare and contrast it to every Monday I'd hear him on the Greg Hill Show, and I'd hear a certain Cam Newton. He gets in a relaxed podcast setting with other football players. He sounded different.
He did, but not stupid.
No.
I don't mean stupid in a dumb way. I mean he didn't go off the rails. And
I'm talking about his
rip
vocal
anybody.
His vocal inflections, and you know, his southern drawl got a little deeper. And,
well, as he said, he's from Atlanta. You put me in a room with crackheads, I'll find my way. You put me in a room with billionaires, I'll find my way in that room too. And in that room, now he's the football player, the locker room, the cam that gives out nicknames, the cam that, you know, he has that side. And I think that was part of why it was so. Ocho Cinco has a similar sort of style. I mean, Ocho Cinco has been around a long time, been around a lot of people in business and locker rooms and different things. And went the back and forth early on between Cam and Ocho Cinco about diet and genetics and tremendous, absolutely tremendous. My son was mocking me because I was listening to it with headphones on, and I was literally laughing out loud sitting on the couch watching this unfold because Chad Ocho Cinco, he's a unique character.
You could put me in a room full of billionaires, and I'ma still find my way. You could put me in a room full of crackheads, I'ma still find my way.
I'll tell you what, it is interesting, those two guys, because over the course of 20 years, I would say those two for me are the most disappointing that it didn't work out with the Patriots. I was so excited for Ocho Cinco, and I know he got into all kinds of issues after the fact, but when they acquired him, I thought it was sort of the missing piece. He was so good in Cincinnati, and those teams weren't great, but he was awesome. Like, he was a legitimate number one receiver.
Yes.
And got here, and it was a disaster. And then Cam Newton, I talked myself into, hey, they can win the division with him. Great personality. He's going to be a lot of fun. Both those guys just
did not win the division.
You
had him going to the Super Bowl.
No, he AFC title game.
No,
AFC
I had the Chiefs winning the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. You had him in the AFC title
AFC
game.
Title game.
That was on you, though. I think the second
I talked myself
was on
way
you.
Up. Yeah.
Ocho was a disappointment. Like, he... Yeah. I think people still thought he had more left in the tank, that he would be a better fit, and then you put him with Tom Brady. I think that was more of a true disappointment that
it just never worked out. If you just took Cam's worst healthy season with Carolina and put like those numbers here, it would have been so much better. Like, he was so far below even the worst.
But he was way past what he was. Like, remember, I had him 23. Like, some of us thought he stunk.
Yeah, you were right. No, listen, I'm telling you, you were
no, I was wrong. I was too high. I still say he should have been low.
Well, each of us are going to bring you a little cut from the podcast yesterday. And Andy, you've kind of led me naturally into the cut that I selected. I read it yesterday because at the time we had a bunch of audio that hadn't yet dropped, but I read it first. I heard it. I wanted to bring it back again today to your point, Andy, about, you know, how good a quarterback is Cam Newton now.
My pride won't even allow me to do that. Listen, bro, there's not 32 guys better than me. Put it like that. So you're asking
where you
me.
At?
Like,
where you at?
I'm not 32.
So 31.
No, it is interesting, though, because they're
trying
to
get... Well, he said
there's
not 32 guys better than him.
See, he's
only
confident.
30 or 31.
He's confident, but he's not delusional, because you see that... I don't know who that was that was trying to try to, like, top 10. Like,
I think that was Brandon Marshall.
That was Brandon.
Brandon Marshall's trying to get a little bit more out of him. He's like, I'm not 32. Or I'm not 33, basically. Like, all right, so I think he knows he's probably... bottom 20s.
Well, he's been very open, even with Greg Hill the last couple weeks, of the tape is the tape. Like, I can't go out like that, because what you saw is what you saw. Like, he doesn't say you didn't see what you thought you saw. Like, if somebody said to him, the offense didn't look good, you didn't throw touchdown passes, you were one hop into receivers, I think Cam Newton would say, yes. Even he made a comment out, you know, like, on his own of, I got to get rid of the ball quicker and more accurately. He knows exactly what he put on the field last year. He just believes there's more left there. Like, there's still an opportunity, kind of like you thought, Rich. Like, when he arrived, there's still an opportunity.
Yeah.
He still
yeah.
believes that. I don't know if
Which, by the way, he should believe that. He should think that
way. Oh, of course.
You can't compete at that level and be an NFL player and think, God, I don't know if I've got anything. If you start thinking, I don't know if I've got anything left, you're done.
You
just get out.
Right.
And his problem, too, like, if you really want to, like, look into that statement, like, he might be 30, right? Like, if you're adding them all up. However, you might think 31 is Trey Lance or Justin Fields. And so if he's technically today slightly worse, who are you going to give the chance to? The young guy. So, like, where he's at, you can't afford to be the 25th through 32nd best quarterback when you're in your mid-30s. Like, those guys then become backups, and you have somebody else get it, because you're looking for the upside. You're looking for the high ceiling, and all these teams, like, there's going to be probably four, maybe five first-round picks this year that all kind of reset that order. You know, like, 2 years ago, he's sitting there with, you know, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow aren't in the league. They show up and are immediately above him. And so it's debatable. I'm sure every team would have a different ranking, but the highest you could put him is what, 25 now, 26, 27? The highest
probably, because he's even. But you mentioned the first round picks, which are obviously going to be ahead of him because they have potential, right?
They're first round picks, right?
I would argue that the first round picks that have failed, the Wentzes and the Darnold, still have more potential because they're young. You say change of scenery, different. Like, he's already had his change of scenery, right? He went from Carolina to New England, tried to rehab.
He's been in the league for 10 years.
Well, that change of scenery didn't really work out. You can argue Sam Darnold, whose numbers probably put him in the conversation with Cam down the bottom of the league.
Mitch Trubisky's better.
But again,
or at least has more of the upside. Obviously.
You could sell yourself on the upside of a young guy more than you sell yourself on a 30-something guy who's already changed teams and still couldn't rehab it.
Like, if I gave you a couple of backups, Jameis Winston was a backup last year. Would you have him ahead of Cam?
Yes.
Right now I would.
And you know, you could. There's one. Andy Dalton was a backup. ended up playing because, you know, of injury and all that, but I might have him ahead.
Okay, so we also have to assess two different things because Mutt yelled at me a lot last night after I listened to the entirety of this podcast. He does. He bullies me, and it's
that's not nice.
I really think I should. It's not okay. I thought we were supposed to be a no hate community around here, where there's no bullying.
New on the job.
So, because I left the Cam thing, I'm a sucker. Like I kind of bought into what he's selling, and I don't know if that's just his charisma, his talk, because I still have in my memory he can't throw. Like if you say Andy, he can't throw, I go, yeah, I know, and I feel bad about that.
People are really good salesmen. Some people can sell you stuff that you don't need, you don't want, you know that you don't want it, and you still walk out of the store with it. You're like, what the hell? Why did how did I?
Can I take this back?
Yeah. Right. No refunds. You got to read the small print.
I also think some of it also goes in, we haven't found a counter proposal or an option. Like, we haven't sold ourselves on anything that we say, I like Cam, but this guy's better.
Oh, that's
better?
True.
Mitchell Trubisky, Marcus Mariota. Maybe. Are you all in on those guys?
No.
All in to the point where you go, Cam, I love you. I mean it, but we're moving on. And if you can't find the next one, isn't that how, like, you know, couples that break up and then they don't start dating others? Oh, well, what are you doing, you know, Friday night? You know, even though they know it's bad. They don't want to get
single. When we turn 50, we're getting
married. Isn't that what this kind of is? It's like a lonely Friday night, and you're like, you didn't find anybody better.
There are so many excuses. Like, there's not just one thing where you're like, ah, okay, whatever. There's, like, so many things that you start to say, put another quarterback. Pick another guy. Again, not Tom Brady, not Deshaun Watson, but take another quarterback. Like even a Jimmy Garoppolo, let's say. And he was here last year. Actually, Jimmy's not a great example. Take a guy who's never been on the team before. You put him in here. He signs in June. No training camp. No this, no that. His best receiver's Jacoby Myers. Like, the whole thing. Gets COVID. Like, that's another one that we're talking about a lot now. It gets COVID, all this stuff through the season. How much better would they have been? Now, I think these other guys could probably throw the ball better than Cam. I'm going to stand by that. They could throw the ball better than Cam. They wouldn't be able to run it as well in short yardage or goal line. So you got to sort of you got to factor that out as well. I don't want him. I do think if he finds a spot, he's probably better than what he showed last year. Like, that was so bad.
But will he be better in that spot? See, that's the one, because now you're changing again.
Yeah.
So did you buy
especially
into any of the sales?
Especially if he's starting over with a whole new offense again.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, so, if he's not here, it's like,
because I don't.
What?
Everything he says is the truth, right? Like, that's why it's believable, because as you said, he didn't have an offseason. He got here late. It's a tough system to learn. Like, that part where Fred Taylor and Ocho Cinco are like, there's a million different things. They're, like, laughing at all the things.
Guys, come on.
And, like, he admits, you know, the COVID thing. Now, whether that's an excuse or not, I guess that's something where it's only he knows if he really was saying white 90 and thinking, the hell does white 90 mean? Why am I saying white 90? Because if that's the case, obviously, if you're thinking that much, you're in trouble in the fast-paced world.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So, Rich, what was the cut that jumped out at you from yesterday?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of good ones, like, to Andy's point, but one that stood out to me is, especially coming off of a month where it seemed like everybody was piling on Belichick. It was open season on Bill Belichick because Tom Brady was doing so well. Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl. How could Bill let him go? Bill missed the playoffs, all this, that, and the other thing. And for Cam Newton, who's obviously a free agent, to say this about Bill, this just jumped out.
I think Bill Belichick is the most misunderstood person in all of
100%, 1,000%.
He dope as shit.
Yeah.
He is a cool dude. He understands the game. He's like an historian of the game.
Yeah.
And for you to just sit down and chat with him, like, it's like, damn, like, he's going back and he's got film, like, literally teaching the game. Like,
what's his right hand man name?
Ernie.
Earndog.
Like, it's hilarious to hear. But, like, we know that Bill is a historian. But to have a player, especially a player of that stature in the league, like, that appeals to him. And I also just think that Bill is going to love that. Bill loves, like, the relationship with his last quarterback wasn't going super great at the end. And this quarterback, even though he wasn't great on the field, absolutely loves Bill. And I think Bill loves him, too.
When we come back, we'll get Andy's cut from yesterday's podcast. We'll get to the calls with you as well at 617-779-7937. Tom E. Curran will join us at the top of the hour at 11 o'clock. And the question is whether a return for Cam Newton could pay dividends for the Patriots from a recruiting perspective. We'll get to that as well. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart, and it's time to trend.
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Don't give up your resolution to lose weight this year. Simply change course and start dropping weight your very first week with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Celtics visit the Dallas Mavericks tonight. Marcus Smart remains out. Tip-off at 7:30. The NBA will announce their All-Star reserves tonight. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown both likely to be selected. Today is the first day NFL teams can use the franchise tag, and then they have until March 9th. And the Bruins are off until Thursday when they face the Islanders. Trending Now also brought to you by Shaw's Just For You. This week, Shaw's Just For You members can stock up on soda and pick up Pepsi and Schweppes Seltzer 12-pack cans at 3 for only $8.97 when you buy 3 and activate digital coupon at checkout. Limit 3 per customer and offer valid through Thursday, February 25th. I'm Rich Keefe. That's Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Andy Hart is with Dale and Keefe every Tuesday and Thursday on WEEI.
1 year deal, would you go back?
Yes. Hell yes. I know way more than I knew last year. Now, you give me what you just said?
Yeah.
Not even that. A system with me. Like, they know me. Doughboy knows me. Jacoby knows me. Bud knows me. The young tight ends know me. The younger guys that's going to come in, this is how Cam react. Like, we're still trying to flush out the 20 years of how it used to be. And I'm going in and I'm saying, well, that's not me.
Is there a chance you go back to New England?
There's always a chance for everything.
Y'all talking?
I can't say that.
Can't say that, or no, we haven't talked.
No, that to me would mean they are talking. That's a Patriot thing right there. Not even on the Patriots, but he's still acting like he is. He's complimenting Belichick. He's complimenting McDaniels. He won't let those guys say a bad word about either one, even when they bring up play calling or anything like that. Talking about the receivers and all that stuff. He's still talking about Doughboy and Bud and all these guys. Like, he's talking like he's still on the team. Asked about his contract. Hey, I can't talk about it. Like, he's definitely angling to come back, and he's smart because there's not a ton of openings for Cam Newton based off the season that he just had.
So that was your cut from yesterday, right, Andy?
Yeah, I kind of bought it. I kind of bought what he's selling. Like, it makes sense. And I know you laugh, and you should laugh.
You're a fool.
But is it not accurate? Now, some of this is because I admit I hate all the options. I hate Trubisky. I hate Mariota. Even Jimmy, there's plenty of warts or questions to go with that. So if you automatically hate all the would-be replacements, and then he sells you on, COVID.
I want to flip it on you.
Okay.
All right. Do you like some of the other options more than Cam, though? Like Jimmy, just for, you mentioned Jimmy. Do you like Jimmy as quarterback for the Patriots more than Cam?
I do if you take out the injuries. I think Jimmy has upside. I think Jimmy has proven he can win, he can make plays, he's a good quarterback. All the others, I like Cam better. I think all the others stink. And I'll roll the dice at the two-year upside of Cam Newton with an offseason, with better talent around him. He even at one point referenced, because Chad Ochocinco said, and they didn't give you no dogs.
Yeah,
and at one point, Cam is talking, he goes, you bring me back, and maybe a dog he looks at over at Ochocinco, like, you give me a weapon to work with.
Yeah.
And I can buy, it's almost my argument for Stidham, right? Like, the guys you know
been here for so long, but
deserve the opportunity, and they had a weird year. Cam had a weird year, as you noted earlier, Rich. Like, there's a lot of truth to it. The one thing I can't get past is the actual vision of the physical throwing of the football.
And it doesn't seem right.
Like, do you buy into, on any level, that the head ruined the rest? That because he was White 90 thinking and thinking too much that it ruined everything?
I bet it affected some of it, yeah.
So you're buying in.
No, it might have had an effect. It was not the most important issue he had.
So
he
you believe he can't throw the ball. Right. Okay. I think, Dale.
I think his arm is cooked.
I'm kind of with you, Dale, because I just can't envision, after all the thinking, ooh, there's N'Keal Harry on the hash. I'm going to do my little crow hop thing, long wind up, and
right into his feet.
Like, I stopped thinking. That's where, you know, muscle memory takes over, and you just throw the football like you've been doing for 30 years on every field you've ever been on.
Yeah.
And even the one thing that even worries me actually more than that one is he never got any touch on the soft ones, like the James White little swing passes. Like,
no.
He couldn't make those.
He nearly got James White killed on about half a dozen occasions.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, mentally or how he reads a defense or his reaction, and maybe years ago, you know, the first receiver wouldn't be open and he'd be able to adjust a little bit better rather than just firing it into somebody's shoes or whatever. So maybe that affected a little bit, but I think I wouldn't expect this huge bounce back in, oh my God, look at him throw the ball around now, because that was never really his strength anyway.
No. You know? But would it, see, Mutt brought up last night, and I liked the comparison to, you're looking for a car. Like, you have an old used car and you're like, this car stinks, I need to go find a new car. But you also know your budget. So you're not on the certified used car lot where all the cars have, like, lease turn-ins, only 20,000 miles. You're on one of these, like, old Route 6. At least that's the one that goes through my town where there's, like, a million car lots. And every car there has dings. And you take it for a test drive and you're like, hey, just wondering, what's that strange noise from, like, the back right side of the car? And everyone has 180,000 miles. And then you go back to the lot and you go, I know my car's not great. But I know it starts in the morning, and when it doesn't start, I know I have to turn the heat off twice, turn it back on, and that makes it, like, you know all the warts of your car. That's how I am with Ken. I know all the warts, but the new car has warts I don't know that I don't trust. Mitch Trubisky, Marcus Mariota, all these Jags that you want to bring in.
I guess if it's those guys, they start from scratch.
They start from scratch where Cam was, even if it's earlier.
Jimmy doesn't.
They start from scratch, but don't they also have a higher ceiling? Like, you don't think this Cam Newton, Sam Darnold, or Mitch Trubisky?
Sam Darnold, maybe he's a little bit of a separate case. I'm fighting back against the Mitch Trubisky, Marcus Mariota watch of late that's kind of taken over.
So Jameis Winston, is he on that list?
Winston, I'm intrigued by, but is he even available?
I think he's going back to New Orleans. So if you want to keep the car analogy going, it's like something that the car's all banged up, but there's a chance you can maybe, you know, buff out that scratch. You can put on some new tires, and all of a sudden, the Jameis Winston car might not be a bad car to drive in for a while.
I want Jameis Winston on
this
team.
Or James, either one.
So I think there are at least some intriguing options that have a potential bright future, whereas I don't think you have that at all in Cam, and I'd be worried about the present, too. I think the 2021 season would not be good with Cam. And one of his sales pitch items is, oh, I'll know my receivers better, so me and Doughboy will know each other better. You think N'Keal Harry, knowing Cam a little bit longer, that connection is going to work at all?
It could.
Get out of here.
If you're banking everything that N'Keal healthy is Harry.
Yeah, I'm not banking on that.
Even if he's healthy, he stinks.
Well, if he's hurt, there's at least like an excuse. Like, he can't catch if he's not on the field. But anyway, when he is out there, he can't do anything.
Beyond Cam making the excuse for himself, he made the excuse. He pointed to his head and what did he say? He was beat or toast or dead. And it falls in line with what the Footwork King told us on Mud at Night when we talked to him one night. And he said he lost all his confidence. He was a beaten man. The whole focus this offseason is getting N'Keal Harry back to believing in himself.
Okay.
What do you think the percentage of upside is for Cam? Let's play the game. Everything he sold us about, off season, a year, no COVID, can he be 10%?
Let me add a plus side. And I hadn't given this enough weight until I read my Nesson colleague Doug Kide write about this as well. Kide says, I'll say this about Cam Newton. If there's a concern about pass catchers not wanting to come to New England because of the lack of a quality quarterback, and I've heard this, I think Cam would be a better draw and recruiter than most of the other QBs we're talking about. Yep. Would a pass catcher want to come to New England to play with Marcus Mariota, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett, or Ryan Fitzpatrick? Probably not specifically. Would they want to come play with Cam? It's certainly more possible. He still has the MVP reputation.
100%.
I think
you saw it in that room he was in with retired players and the way they treat him. And most of these guys, now maybe some of the guys played against Cam, like they were actually on the field and they saw some of these throws. But other than that, in their mind, Cam is still the guy that
James White and Stephon Gilmore googly-eyed as soon as he signed with the Patriots. Yeah. Like, holy crap, Cam Newton? I'll go play with Cam Newton. They didn't watch all 16 Patriots games and see the struggles of the passing game.
Wiggy did watch all 16 games, and he still
and still wants him back.
So I think he is a
well, he's
extremely...
got googly eyes and sometimes eggplant.
It
goes back and forth.
I think he's a very, very popular player, and I do think guys would want to play with him. And by no means would it be a deterrent. Like, again, we look at it and we say, you know, 8 touchdown passes all season? Like, who would want to play with that? Where I don't think the players are looking and digging into the stats. And then especially when you compare it to that group of quarterbacks, if it's Cam Newton or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Marcus Mariota, nobody's lining up to play with any of those guys on that list. It's different if it was Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, you know, when he was playing, Peyton Manning, guys wanted to play with them. But then after that, it's like, all right, it's a starting quarterback in the NFL. If I'm a good enough receiver, they'll throw me the ball. I'll catch the ball. Like, that's how I think a lot of them are working. But then you're like, Cam Newton has a cool factor. Like, I think he has this big personality, and I think guys enjoy his company, and they definitely want to play for him.
Which is why I always thought it was like the timeline idea that Reese brought up. You got to get a quarterback in to recruit. Well, none of them are recruiters. None of them are recruiters except
maybe
Cam.
If you got Wilson or Watson, sure.
Yes,
but you're not getting them.
Even Jimmy, who might be the top of the next level, nothing. There's no buzz there. Darnold, no buzz.
No.
None of those guys that are option have any aura or charisma or gravitas, as they say, like Cam Newton does.
Nope.
All right, we get right to the calls with you. You're lined up there. You want to talk about it as well. Tom E. Curran at the top of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart on WEEI.
Tom E. Curran at the top of the hour. Let's get right to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Rodriguez is in Providence. Hey, Rodriguez, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Well, good morning, guys. Not too fast. Good morning. Well, I heard you guys say a few weeks ago, I got frustrated. I couldn't get in touch with you guys. You guys were talking about that if Brady would have been here this year, we would have at least 3 or 4 games more than Cam Newton. I'm a diehard Tom Brady fan. I follow Tom Brady wherever he ended up going. In 2 years from now or 3 years from now, if he doesn't retire. But I think you guys were wrong. I think if we wouldn't have a mobile quarterback this year with New England, like what Cam Newton did, with Brady, we would have won less games than without having him in here. And the only reason I said that is because we didn't have Julius Edelman for most of the season. We didn't have the pieces around that Brady wanted around him. And changing the subject, why now Belichick's willing to bring pieces around Cam Newton? He should have done that with Brady. Brady would have never leave if he bring the pieces around him.
With all due respect, Rodriguez, some of the moves didn't work. He tried. Right.
There's
He drafted a wide receiver in the first round. He traded a second-round pick for a wide receiver. He signed Antonio Brown. He tried to put weapons around Brady.
You think Tom Brady's going to win 6 games in a whole season?
Probably
anybody?
Not. Like, I don't know what his attitude would have been. I mean, he was the most miserable
8-0
quarterback.
Upset.
What would he have been as, 2-3 and as that season rolled out? He might have been a negative on that. But no, my guess is you would have been very similar. It would have looked a little different, and you would have been in a similar boat because you weren't a very good football team all around.
No, you weren't.
Well, and as Rich has pointed out, with basically the same cast of characters at the skill positions, he threw 24 touchdown passes instead of 8.
Right. It was a bad year for him, and it was still 3 times as many. It's like, oh, they're rushing. The passing touchdowns. the passing touchdowns. He threw 3 times as many, and he threw fewer interceptions. It's a pretty important part of football in today's game. So, I mean, the Denver game's one that jumps out to you, where if you just had slightly below average quarterback play that day, you beat the Denver Broncos. That's
the
one
Seattle
that stands
game.
Out.
I would say
Seattle.
The Seattle game. If you get into a shootout, right? You get into a passing game shootout, maybe you win that. Now, I know they joked about the final play in Seattle and how that all unfolded. And
even at Buffalo, I know Buffalo got a lot better as the season went on, but even at Buffalo, you had a chance there. Cam fumbles at the end of the game. So, yeah, I mean, there's 2 or 3 right there that they could have gone the other way.
But you're probably not a playoff team, right? You had to get to 11.
I think getting to 11, you're right.
Let me just say that. I don't think you're a playoff team.
Probably not. Not with 11. Again, if it was 8, like in the NFC, yes. You know, one game different, you're in. But in the AFC, probably not.
Nate's in New Bedford. Hey, Nate.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Great.
Super.
Hey, let's just debunk it real quick with the whole free agency with Cam Newton. You know, these free agents are not going to sign here for 4 years, and Cam Newton back for a year, and then he's gone. So let's just debunk that. So,
but my point is that I'm trying to make is that the Patriots are actually looking for the cheapest guys. And that being said, with the quarterback carousel that's going on, whoever shakes loose at the very end, that's the guy they're going to get for the price.
So, and unfortunately, Nate, your cell keeps cutting in and out on us here. I don't think they're just going for the cheapest guy. They could do that today. I mean, they could go get some Humpty.
Well, the cheaper guy could get cheaper the longer he's out there.
I hope that's not what it is. Cam Newton probably wasn't going to sign for $1 million in February, March, April, but by the time June rolled around, he's ready to sign for $1 million.
And for a team that's got, you know, somewhere in the ballpark of $60 million of cap space to play with, why would they decide that for quarterback, the most important position on the field, they're just going to get the cheapest guy they can get?
Well, because you're not going to get anybody good anyway. Right. But also,
if they're all kind of jumbled together, right?
I mean, it's not like you're passing up the opportunity to simply sign a true franchise quarterback. That's not out there.
You may not get that, but I'm saying I'm just going to get the cheapest option I can get at quarterback. That seems a little counterproductive to me.
I guess if you look at it that way, but if you look at it as they're all the same, they're all JAG quarterbacks who I'm going to be in the same position next year. I can see why I'd get the cheapest, because that allows me to upgrade even more everywhere else on the roster to maybe make myself more attractive.
And that's why I really want to know, and we won't know, is how they rank them. And do they have like a clear, is there one or two guys that they think are a lot better? And whether it's a trade, free agency, or a couple of guys in the draft, and if they really think they're that much better, you can't just like hope that you know whatever you offer gets it done. Like you need to be really aggressive.
But the problem is if they think like us, I think personally like Garoppolo, Darnold, Winston are probably in a different category above some of the other slappies that I think you have no shot to do anything with. Two of them are under contract, so they're trades, right? Yep. Two of them, and at least maybe both of them are contingent on what the team thinks they can do elsewhere at quarterback.
Right, that team's got to replace them at quarterback before they would even consider trading Darnold or Garoppolo.
So for the Jets, have they decided they're taking a quarterback at 2? They want Zach Wilson, or are they still evaluating the quarterbacks and haven't gone down that road yet? For the 49ers, it's obviously we'll trade him if we can upgrade to Watson or whoever that may be. And then the third guy, very quiet on sort of the Winston front, right?
Sean Payton said a while ago he wants to bring him back, but that's kind of all we've heard.
Right, and I bet that happens. I just can't envision them going with Taysom Hill as their franchise.
No.
So the three options that you probably like the best aren't really options right now, aren't really considerations, and then you get into the JAG mode where now I'm kind of okay. All these JAGs, take the cheapest one, or keep Cam, or keep Stidham, whatever. Go the easy way and make everything else better.
A quick side note about New Orleans. It's been 37 days since Drew Brees last played a football game for the Saints, and there's been no announcement of his retirement. Why?
Right.
Is he actually thinking about running it back for another year?
Well, he may have done the Parcells don't make the decision, like give it some time to breathe, maybe go on vacation, really get away.
I was going to say, they might make the decision for him then, like, Drew, we're good.
They could. He was toast at the end of the year, but does that mean he is completely toast?
Well, he had 11 broken ribs, too.
Right.
Though.
Yeah. You know, you heal those heal, and then his mental wounds or whatever heal, and maybe I still... I mean, Jay Glazer made it sound pretty damn definitive that he was done. But
I agree, Dale,
we've got nothing.
37 days since he last played and still nothing. By the way, he just came back from vacation in Hawaii, so maybe that was the
clear-your-head moment.
Here we
go. Now maybe he's ready to bring the band back. Hey, Alvin.
For the press release.
Michael, let's do this again. Let's try to win a Super Bowl.
We will get right back to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston as well. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.